Good morning, and welcome to the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Good morning, friends. It is Monday, April 8th, 2024. This is the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. I'm your host, retired FBI Supervisor Special Agent Darren Mott. After a two-episode miss, and I apologize for last week. Wednesday, I started doing the podcast, but I was suffering from a cold all week. And even though I had a nice radio voice, I'll be honest, with the cold, I still kind of do. When I started the Wednesday one, I had hot coughing fits throughout. I couldn't go couple sentences without coughing my brains out. So I had to bag on Wednesday. By the time Friday came around for the Friday episode, I had no voice left. So those are why there were no episodes last week. So again, my apologies for those who listen. I mean, it's not a ton of you, but I appreciate those who continue to listen and support the podcast as best as you can. I'm going to try to post these obviously more on X and LinkedIn and stuff like that to try to get the word out, because the cybersecurity world, the cybercrime world is constantly evolving and it's never stopping. And it's important to stay on top of the news where you can. I realize I'm not the only person doing cyber news stuff, but hopefully those of you who listen find entertainment in the way that I present these particular stories. And for today, I have seven. I was trying to keep it low, but I have quite a few here. So we'll just see where it goes. The first one from theregister.com. And as always, all the articles found in this podcast can be, links to them can be seen in the show notes if you want to read them more. Microsoft warns that China is using AI to stir the pot ahead of the U.S. election. Now, the key here thing is no kidding, but whatever. Okay, this is Brandon Vigliaro. I always mispronounce his name, so sorry, Brandon. Reporting, with the U.S. presidential election looming, China is stepping up its disinformation game with increased use of AI, Microsoft's Threat Analysis Center reports. MTAC issued a report on Friday that found Chinese state-linked individuals have upped the amount of AI being used to create misinformation and have also started to pose as Americans while asking divisive questions on U.S. domestic issues via social media. Microsoft suggests this could be an attempt to gather intelligence on key U.S. voting demographics, possibly to help tailor disinformation. There's more to this, obviously. It's pretty obvious what this article is saying. And not a surprise, right? Because this is part of nation versus nation activity. The Chinese, the Russian, the Iranian, North Koreans, our big four adversaries, are going to use AI to try to cause dissent and issues with every election cycle, not just 2024, but 2026, 2027, 2020, all the, every election cycle, there will be this issue. And that's why it's key to identify it, that it's existing, so that people can question what they're seeing. There's so much information now online that you can find through a variety of different places. That information is accompanied with disinformation and misinformation and all that kind of stuff. These are common things that are going to happen as technology expands. Bad guys are going to use a technology to do what bad guys do. And this is what nation state bad actors do. And in addition to stealing information, they try to cause issues with the democratic process, not just in the U.S., but other countries as well. We just obviously focus on it because we're here in the U.S. So again, not a surprise that this is happening. It'll be interesting to see. I'm surprised, honestly, that there's not more disinformation sites where you can take information and run it through an AI generator and find out if it's bogus AI generated content. I mean, no one's going to do that because people just are too lazy to do it. But though there are some sites that you can take information, at least text information, especially for educators, and put it in and see how much of that is AI generated. I know that there's a lot of criminals using AI generated information to do pig butchering stuff on LinkedIn and things like that. I get five of these a day. It's the same content. And the funny thing is came in the podcast, this is an offshoot, but I got an email from someone on LinkedIn saying, hey, I saw your post in your LinkedIn profile. I think we'd be friends, blah, blah, blah. Maybe we can talk. And I said, no, I don't think so. I'd care not to. The response back was, thanks so much for taking my friend request. And they asked me a bunch of questions. So now what I'm doing is I'm taking phrases like go kill yourself, jump off a building. And I'm translating it from English to Chinese and putting it in with English Chinese characters, see how that works out. But that's a side note to all this. But again, not surprising that China is using AI to do this. Russia is probably going to do the same thing. And I believe I have an article on that coming up here in just a bit. China, so this is more on China from InfoSecurityMagazine.com. This is James Coker reporting. Chinese threat actors deploy new TTPs to exploit Avante vulnerabilities. Avante is the move it now of our current time. Avante devices have a ton of vulnerabilities that are now patchable, but individuals and companies that have these devices are not patching them. There's another another article I saw, and I don't have it in this episode, but basically the headline was there's still at least 16,000 outward-facing Avante devices that have not been patched, meaning that bad guys could access them and use the vulnerability that these devices have and gain access to the networks behind them. So reading more from this article, Chinese threat actors have developed new techniques to move laterally post-exploitation of Avante vulnerabilities. New research from Mandiant has revealed. What this means is once they are able to exploit the vulnerability, they can then move within the network to other places with additional access. So five suspected Chinese Nexus espionage groups activity has been detailed by Mandy in a blog post dated April 4th. The activity follows the exploitation of three CVEs, which were previously identified in the Avante Connect Secure and Avante Policy Secure gateways. One of these groups tracked as UNC-52291 has been assessed by Mandiant with medium confidence to be Volt Typhoon, which is targeting U.S. energy and defense sectors. Additionally, Mandiant said it has identified financially motivated actors exploiting two of the vulnerabilities, likely to enable operations such as crypto mining. In total, the analysis has observed eight distinct clusters involved in the exploitation of one or more of these Avante CVEs. So the key here being, obviously, if you use an Avante, you need to patch the thing. There's ways to, the patches exist. Use the patches. But this is the problem, right? This is why bad guys can win. Because people just don't have the expertise, the personnel, or really even the knowledge that these exploits exist to be able to protect their devices, because cybersecurity people to do what cybersecurity people need to do, the talent pool is light. And so companies can't afford it, can't find enough people to be able to protect themselves. And these devices just sit out there anxious and active and desperate to be targeted. So I think we will see more of these Chinese threat actors, which, you know, there are in the top five best in the world, able to, you know, if you give them a vulnerability as simple as this, they're going to exploit it and get into networks where they want to steal the information. All right, from China to Russia, cyberscoop.com, Rebecca Hallowell, Tim Starks, AJ Vicenz, and Elias Grohl reporting on this one. Federal government affected by the Russian breach of Microsoft. No kidding. U.S. security officials issued an emergency directive last week to address a breach by Russian operatives of Microsoft, which was first disclosed in January. CISA issued an emergency directive this last week to address the impact from federal agencies from a breach of Microsoft carried out by the hacking unit linked to Russia's foreign intelligence agency, according to three government officials familiar with the matter. Now, here's the thing is, right? So this is some source telling reporters, why can't we just come out and say, here's the problem? Well, whatever. In a briefing Tuesday, CISA executives discussed with federal officials an operation believed to have been carried out by the hacking group known as Midnight Blizzard and discussed the directive. Quote, CISA continues to provide guidance to federal civilian executive branches agencies regarding actions to secure accounts potentially placed at risk through the Midnight Blizzard campaign disclosed by Microsoft in January. Scott McConnell, a spokesperson for the agency, told Scoop News Group on Wednesday, quote, we are working closely with Microsoft to understand the risks to federal agencies and the broader ecosystem in order to provide necessary guidance and information. The thing here to understand, that they need to understand, they're always being targeted. So, you know, they need to do a better look in their supply chain and figure out how to patch holes. And again, here's the thing, right? The government knows who Midnight Blizzard is. They know what they do. They know their TTPs. They need to share these with those supply chain entities like Microsoft so that they can stop this stuff before it happens. Yet we don't have a good information sharing, intelligence sharing mechanism between the private and public sector. For 20 years in the FBI, all we ever heard about, all we ever talked about is we need to work with the private sector, public sector needs to work with the private sector being the government and the private sector being non-government entities and share intelligence. Yet we still don't do it correctly, right? There's no centralized intelligence mechanism. CISA can claim it is, but they can only give out so much information. A lot of the really important stuff is classified or overclassified, so they can't pass it to the private sector or make it known for everybody. But again, my point here, if we understand the threats targeting us, we can assess our risk, proceed wisely. Yet we can't figure out how to give information on what those threats are. I wish we would do better, but it's going to be articles like this that are going to continue on in 2024 until someone figures out how to crack that information sharing nut. Leaping Computers is doesn't have to do anything with the government thing, but this is Lawrence Abrams reporting. Home Depot confirms third-party data breach exposed employee information. Home Depot has confirmed that it suffered a data breach after one of its software as a service vendors mistakenly exposed a small sample of limited employee data, which could potentially be used in targeted phishing attacks. Home Depot is the largest home improvement retailer with more than 2,300 stores and 475,000 employees. On Thursday of last week, a threat actor known as Intel Broker leaked limited information for about 10,000 of the employees on a hacking forum. This is the same individual that recently listed information from about government officials that had been around for a while. And this occurred in in April 2024, Home Depot suffered a data breach that exposed the corporate information belonging to 10,000 employees of the company. After Bleeping Computer contacted Home Depot, the company confirmed one of its third-party software as a service vendors mistakenly exposed sample employee data. There's more in this article if you want to read it, not a whole lot more, but the point being, right, as you offload your risk to third parties, it doesn't mean that the risk goes away. So, you know, the sad thing is for all of these things is that clearly data is not being encrypted at rest, which is a standard cybersecurity methodology. It certainly would cost more money. It's a little more complicated. It makes it harder for people to access data quickly. But it seems like from a security perspective, everybody should just encrypt everything at rest so that it's very hard for the attackers to get in. Now, if the attacker had legitimate credentials, that probably limits that. But again, goes back to zero trust. We're not incorporating zero trust. I don't talk about that a lot here. It's not my bailiwick. If you want more information on zero trust, go find Dr. Chase Cunningham on LinkedIn. He does a lot of stuff on zero trust. But certainly it's a way that we have to start thinking to go, because it requires authentication at every level of data access. But we don't do it for ease, right? It's easier just to not do it. So as we don't do it, we're going to continue to have these issues. Also from Bleeping Computer, Sergey Glatlin reporting, U.S. Health Department warns hospitals of hackers targeting IT help desk. Not a surprise. Health PHI, personal health information, is very valuable on the dark web. But the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services warns that hackers are now using social engineering tactics to target IT help desks across the healthcare and public health sector. Now, they say that like it's a big surprise. It shouldn't be, but maybe for some it is. The sector alert issued by the Health Sector Cybersecurity Coordination Center, or HC3, this week says these tactics have allowed attackers to gain access to targeted organization systems by enrolling their own multi-factor authentication devices. So that's the problem. You should have these multi-factor authentication devices already registered. Then you wouldn't have this issue, but clearly they're not using it. Again, the problem in the health sector, they work on such low margins, or tight margins, rather, that it's hard to hire enough cybersecurity personnel to protect their data. Anyway, in these attacks, the threat actors use a local area code to call organizations pretending to be employees in the financial department and provide stolen ID verification details, including corporate ID and social security numbers. Where do they get that information? From all the billions of data records stolen in data breaches throughout history, which now makes it easy for bad guys to create personas with valid information that can then be used to do this kind of attack. Using this sensitive information and claiming their smartphone is broken, they convince the IT help desk to enroll a new device in MFA under the attacker's control. This gives them access to corporate resources, allows them to redirect bank transactions and business email compromise attacks. Quote, the threat actor specifically targeted login information related to payer websites, where they then submitted a form to make ACH changes for payer accounts, HC3 says. Once access has been gained to employee email accounts, they send instructions to payment processors to divert legitimate payments in attacker-controlled U.S. bank accounts. So the key here being, if you're in the healthcare sector, pay attention. This is an important article for you to look at and to share with your IT folks, because they're the ones being targeted. Quick article here from Wire. Not going to read much into it other than it's time to switch to a privacy browser. Ad trackers are out of control. Use a browser that reins them in. Basically, this article kind of goes into something that Chrome noted, or Google noted recently, that even if you're using Chrome's incognito mode, they still track a lot of what you do with ad trackers and things like that. They then send that information and sell it to others. And they have tons of information on where you go, what you do, all that kind of stuff. So it's better to use a browser that doesn't do this, such as DuckDuckGo if you're on Android, iOS, Windows, or Mac OS. Ghostery, which is largely, it's an add-on to browsers on PCs and Macs, but it's also its own browser within a mobile device. The Tor browser obviously is one. And then I'm even reading this off the Brave browser. Brave comes with all the tracking protection features you would expect. Ads are completely blocked. There are tight restrictions on the data that sites can gather. So it's a good browser to protect your data if you want to go away from the ones that kind of suck information everywhere. Lastly, and I'm going to actually skip this article, has to do with basically there's a Bing ad that if you're trying to find NordVPN, it will send you malware. I'll link it. I'm not going to read it because I'm running out of time. And so I want to keep this under 15 minutes. So I'm going to let you go. There's not going to be an outgoing bumper on this. It's basically this podcast is just going to kind of stop because I'm running out of time. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen. Know that if you understand the threats targeting you, you can assess your risk, proceed wisely. See you again on Wednesday with Deep Dive Wednesday.